Good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. This morning, we want to look at a subject. We want to talk about something that has condemned people. It can hurt people. It can save people. It can help people or hinder people. It can make friends or it can make enemies. And the Bible says we can't tame it. I would like to, before we get into the main part of the message, I would like to have a little children's class. And I didn't think about it, but it's actually going to be a pretty large children's class, I believe. So if we could have the children come front, looks like we've got a pretty good row right here. Maybe we can take both sides. I think it might take both sides if it's not too much trouble. Invite all the children to come front. It is good to see all the children here. Who wants to guess what we're going to talk about? You want to give a wild guess, any children? What are we going to talk about? What does the Bible say that no man can tame it? It's talking about our tongue. We want to talk about this morning things that we say. And I have a little something along. I have a little bow and arrow along. And our tongues and our words are like arrows. There's a verse in the Bible, in Psalm 64, verse 3, says, "Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." So there it tells us, well, first of all, it says, "Whet their tongue." Now, this is not, "whet their tongue" isn't like we think about making something wet. It's talking about sharpening something. You take a sword and you sharpen it real nice and sharp. What does a sharp sword feel like? If I would poke you with a sharp sword, would that feel good?
No.
That would hurt, right? Okay. It also says that they bend their bow to shoot as arrows. Okay. So it says even bitter words. So it says bitter words are like an arrow. Okay, when we shoot an arrow at something, when we shoot an arrow at a deer, what happens to the deer? You think it feels good to the deer?
No.
No? What happens?
It dies.
It dies, hopefully, if we hit it right. So here it says that bitter words are like an arrow, or when we say things that aren't very nice to people, or when we lie, or when we complain, when we say things that we shouldn't, it's like an arrow, and it hurts. And so there's different arrows. Now, what happens when I shoot this arrow? What are some ways that or some things that maybe that we shouldn't say? I'll give you one. One is lying, okay? Lying is like saying something we shouldn't say. And so let's say maybe mom asks you, "Did you pick up the toys yet?" And maybe you were too busy playing, reading a book, or playing with your toys, something, and mom says to clean up your toys, and a little bit later she comes and says, "Did you pick up your toys yet?" And you say, yeah, I picked them up. That's like shooting an arrow. And after you shoot that arrow, I can't get it back. It's already shot. I couldn't catch it. I already shot the arrow. You already said it. Now we can apologize. We can say, "I'm sorry that I said that I lied." But the arrow was already shot. And just like when we shoot an arrow at a deer, after we shoot the arrow, we can't bring that arrow back, and we hurt that deer. Or we hurt someone with an arrow, it's the same way, the damage is done. We already hurt someone. What are some other ways? Can you think of any? What are some other arrows?
Saying
unkind things. That's a good one. What are some unkind things? Do you ever say unkind things?
Yes.
You do? You know what? Sometimes big people say unkind things too. And in a little bit here, I'm going to be talking to the big people as well. Yeah, saying unkind things. I don't like you. Or maybe there's some other things you say, but as soon as you say, I don't like you, that hurts someone, right? Say, I don't like, that doesn't feel good. We don't like when people say that to us, right? And so we say, I don't like you. And we hurt that person. And after we say it, we can't, it's too late. What are some other things? Okay?
Gossiping,
that's a good one. Did you hear that we had a test at school and he only got a 50%? You think that's a nice thing to tell other people? Did you hear what he did? Okay, what were you gonna say? Were you gonna say something?
Showing off.
That's a good one. Say, hey, look what I can do. I can do this better than you can. See, you can't do it as good as I can. And just like words, now you watch, this last arrow that I'm gonna shoot, as soon as I shoot it, I'm gonna try to catch it. And it's just like a word, when you say something, we can't catch it. So when I shoot this arrow, it's already gone, I can't catch it. And that's the same way when we shoot, when we say unkind things, when we lie to people, or when we argue with each other. Those are things that aren't very nice. It's the same way when we say unkind words, we can't get it back. The damage is already done. Do what the Bible says that we should do with our mouths? The Bible says that we should set a watch before our mouth. And that setting out watch means that we should be careful what we say. We should be careful, and you should think before you say something. Is this something that's going to be kind, or is this going to hurt someone? Maybe I shouldn't say it. And if it's going to hurt someone, then you better not say it. So let's remember to always set a watch. Say kind things. Because when we say kind words, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we can't get our words back. But if we say hurtful things, then that hurts people. And just remember, we don't like when people say hurtful things to us. And so let's remember to always say kind words. Now, I was going to come up with a fitting song, and I forgot to come up with a song. So maybe one of you have a song that you want to pick that we could sing together. Someone have a song? How about someone over here in the front bench? You have a song you want to sing? Do you have one? Running Over? All right, let's sing Running Over.
Running over, running over, my cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over.
All right. Thank you very much. You can go back to your parents. The title that I gave my message this morning is Christian Communication. First of all, we all know what the word Christian means. Christian is someone that patterns our lives after Christ, that we follow the example of Christ.
we follow the teachings of Christ. And so as we think of Christian communication, and the reason I use the word communication is, well, first of all, the meaning of communication is the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writing, or signs. And I chose the word communications over Christian speech or something like that because we communicate today in so many different ways, and it's a lot more than just verbally speaking. There's lots of ways that we communicate to people. There's ways like emails and text messages and letter writing and things like that. There's lots of ways that we communicate to people without actually verbally talking to them. And I like to include that also in the message this morning. It's more than just speaking. It's everything that we convey that are, no matter which way it is, whether it's in writing or speaking, we are passing on information or we are giving our thoughts or our opinions. And we need to pattern those after Christ. First of all, it's not only things that originate from us. Often when we talk, it's things that originate from us. It's our thoughts, our opinions. We convey our thoughts and opinions. But as we think about these different forms of how we communicate, we also pass on information, especially in these days of email and things like that. We get emails. We can just click of a button and we pass it on. So it can be in different forms. So when we think of Christian communication, it's everything that we say, whether it's through speaking, texting, emailing, it's every expression that we leave through our body language is another way. It says about signs. I mean, we can say something, but we give a different, through our body language, we give a different message. And that also is included. And it's very easy for us to get humorous emails or texts, and we can just hit the forward button. But I just like to challenge us this morning. Before we do it, let's think. Is this something that's edifying? And we want to get into that a little bit later, what all these different guidelines are. But is it edifying? Is it something, even if it doesn't originate from us, if we pass it on, we are responsible for passing that on. We are still responsible. And it's easy to laugh and joke around, but we need to think, what testimony am I leaving? And I guess the burden for this message comes from we can do so much damage so quickly with communication, whether it's through an email or through talking, whatever it might be. We can do so much damage so quickly. And I understand and I recognize that this is not a new thought for any one of us. We have heard this before. And it's not a new thought, but I believe it's good for us to look at the Bible on a subject like this for a couple of reasons. One reason is we can quickly become influenced by those around us. Each day we bump into worldly people, we work with people that do not practice godly communication, Christian communication, and it's easy for that to wear off on us, and we become influenced by that. Just one example that I thought of is a lot of people, and I hear it even in our circles today, calling children kids. And that's something that we hear all the time. But it's something that I just want to challenge us as we think about what is wearing off on us and what influence are we under. Also, I believe Satan recognizes the damage that can be done through our communication, through talking. And he tries to get us to fall. He tries to get us to hurt each other and become enemies. And that is his goal. And he knows that relationships can be ruined and that garbage and filth can be quickly passed on and can be become a struggle for people. And we can, instead of edifying them and building them up, we're tearing them down. And I believe Satan realizes that. Another reason I want to look at this is because I recognize my own weakness and how I can gradually become less careful in the way I communicate and the way I talk and the way I communicate to others. And so what we want to do this morning is just look at a couple different passages, look at some different verses, and look at different guidelines that the Bible has for our speech and for our communication. And the Bible does have a lot to say about how we as Christians should communicate. And I believe it shows that God does really care about a subject like this. He cares about what we say and what we pass on, what we communicate to others. He cares about that. And it's important to have a pure communication. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading at verse 22. That you put off, we're kind of jumping in the middle of a thought here, but we'll just jump in right here at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We'll stop reading there. First of all, I'm just going to pull the first couple points from these verses. The first one, first of all, before I get into that, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'd like to look at verses 25. It starts out by saying, wherefore, put away lying. And we see the word wherefore. The word wherefore means for that cause or for that reason. For an example, we say, you know, God has blessed us beyond what we deserved. Wherefore, we need to give him the honor and the glory. It's because he has blessed us more than what we deserve, we need to give him thanks and give him be grateful to him. And so when we see this word, wherefore, put away lying, we need to go back and look what he is saying. And go back to the previous verses. And it says there that we need to put off the old man. In verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. We need to lay that down. Put off the old man. And we need to be renewed. We need to be renewed in our minds. It says in verse 23, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so what I see here is basically what's inside is going to come out. If we are being controlled by the old man, if we have the old man living within us and is in control in our lives, then evil speaking and evil communication is going to come out. But we need to crucify that, put that down. And if we have the new man, if we have the Spirit of God within us, then that is what's going to come out. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. What's in our heart is going to come out. When we put off the old man, our conversation should change. And so therefore we see a difference between the saved versus the unsaved. We see a difference between those that have the Holy Spirit within us and those that do not. There will be a difference in our conversation. And we can't control our tongue. And it's through that God's changing power that we can control, or that God can help us control that tongue. In James 3:8, very familiar verse, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So we can try to control our tongue, but here it says we cannot tame our tongue. We cannot do it. We need the power of God in our lives. We need the Spirit of God to control our tongue. So that's, we have that understanding. We need, that's the basis of our message this morning, is that we need to have the power of God, the Spirit of God within us. So then we go on there in verse 25. Put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. So my first point is always tell the truth. What all does that include? What all does telling the truth include? Well, the obvious is telling outright lies. We know that that is not telling the truth. It's obvious. Telling outright lies. And that is something that we often work with our children. Did you pick up the toys? Yes, I did. When they didn't. And we work with that, and we train them at a very young age. And that's easy to train them because it's something, it's black and white. It's very simple. It's an outright lie. But I believe it goes farther than that. We often use the term white lies. Maybe it's just a little lie. We may be especially tempted with that when we're buying or selling something. I had to think, I know for myself at work, as I was this week, of course, I had this message in mind, and I take care of getting the, I have to make sure there's directions for our delivery trucks and everything, and it's getting a little better because I'm starting to learn the area, but right when we moved in here, I'd start getting directions, and people say, well, you know where this and this is, and you know the general area, but you don't know exactly, and, you know, it was easy for me to, well, you don't want to make a fool out of yourself. Well, no, I don't know where this is. Well, okay, well, you definitely know where this is. Well, no, I don't know where that is either. And it's easy to, well, just do a little white lie and say, just kind of, well, okay, yeah, I mean, and maybe leave them under the impression that, yeah, you know where that is, and you try to follow them and find the directions. But, and I just had to think about that this week. I was getting directions from someone, and I was faced with that very same thing. But these little areas that we can just be open and honest. And I think as Christians, we need to be honest. And that's just maybe a crude example. It's a small area. But yet, I think it's important that we just are honest. And we, whether it makes us look like a fool or not, and whether it goes against our grain or whatever it is, we still are open and honest. Or maybe when we're selling something, we all want to get the most out of it. The most money, and it's easy, you know, if there is a little problem, it's easy to try to cover it up and patch it up, whatever, and try to sell it for a good price. Just another area. We are called here in verse 25, speak every man the truth. Another area that I thought of is, I think it's all our natural tendency to want to exaggerate, make, blow stories up. Now, probably, maybe fishing and hunting stories are exempt here, but in other areas, maybe we shouldn't exaggerate. Now, it goes true for everything. We like to make things a lot worse. Well, boy, did this or did that, and you all know what I'm talking about. We exaggerate. We can easily make ourselves look better than what we actually are, and it's our tendency to do that. But we are called to speak in truth. Another area might be in using absolute words like always or never. I don't know if you think about it, how much we do that, how much we use absolute words when it doesn't really fit in. Just for an example, when we're accusing someone, well, you always do it that way, or you always do this to me. Well, it may feel like that, but is it true? Do they always do that? You know, so that's just another example how we use absolute words to make things sound worse than what they are, and to get the point across. And then we end up hurting people a lot quicker that way. And if we think about what we say and how we're saying it, and we don't use those type of words, we end up having a speech that is a lot more gracious, a lot more loving, if we think about what we say. There at the end of verse 25, it says, "For we are members one of another." Just like our bodies work together, we don't try to deceive our own bodies. Our left hand doesn't try to deceive our right hand and what it's doing. We don't. Our bodies work together. And it's the same with us, especially as a body of Christ. As Christ is the head of the body, we need to work together. And we don't deceive each other and use absolute words and make ourselves lift ourselves up and things like that. All right, going down to verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So for the second point, is it edifying or is it playing down nonsense? Does it tear people down? Or is it edifying? Does it build people up? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Again, there it brings out, it starts in the heart, in your heart. We need to remember as we talk and as we forward that email and as we send that text message or forward that text message, what we say or what we forward is going to either make that person that we're communicating to, either make them better or it's going to make them worse. And so we need to ask our question, is it edifying or is it just nonsense? Is it something that's not important? Will it challenge them to a closer walk with God? Or is it going to draw them away from God? Is it going to be a stumbling block for them? Is it going to be a temptation for them? I have been in conversations, and you probably have been too, that afterwards you walk away and it just doesn't give you a godly mindset. It just doesn't, you go away not feeling any better than what you were, actually worse than what you were. You probably all know what I'm talking about. We need to use our time and our conversations wisely to exhort and to build up each other and be careful that we are lifting each other up. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Life can be a struggle at times, and we can be, I know for me, there's plenty of temptations, there's plenty of struggles, and without having conversations that only make it worse. And so let's especially so much the more as you see the day approaching, as we get in these end times and the times get worse, let's exhort one another and let's have conversations and that build each other up and help each other. Jumping down to verse 31-32, talks about speaking in love. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Speaking in love. Here it talks about, it says evil speaking. I believe it's talking about, has in mind there, speaking that is going to hurt someone, it's going to hurt their feelings, or it's going to somehow hurt them. Evil speaking. And it's easy to say hurtful things, especially when there is hard feelings involved and when there is conflict. It's easy to say things that are going to hurt people. And when that starts and there's that conflict, there's no good stopping place. I say something that hurts you, and you say something that hurts me, and we keep back and forth. It's like a warfare. And there's no good stopping place. And it's one jab after the next. But there is a good stopping place. In verse 32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." It all starts with forgiving. If someone says something that hurts you or that you don't like, and there is that tension between you, we need to forgive. And if we have a spirit of forgiveness and we have that spirit of God in our lives, then we can be controlled by the Spirit. We're controlled by the new man and not the old man. And instead, we can refrain from saying those hurtful things. Another way that we can hurt people is by spreading stories about them. We talked about that in our children's class. Spreading stories about people, whether it's true or whether it's not true. First of all, we need to verify that it is true. And secondly, whether it is true or not, we need to decide whether it's something that's nice to pass on and whether we would like if people were saying that about us. And so that is another area that we can gossip. We can pass on information to others, and that can hurt people. Can be called evil speaking. Turn with me to James chapter 3. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this chapter, but I thought this chapter just fit in real well. And I'd just like to take the time to read the entire chapter of James chapter 3 and then just take note of a couple verses. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." I'd just like to take note of verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. If we have bitterness in our hearts, and also tying in the thoughts there in verse 5 and 6, it says our tongue is like a fire. If we have bitter and envying in our hearts, it's like a spark that unites a large fire that can get out of control so quickly. In verse 15 it says, this is not from God, but is devilish. It's straight from the devil. And where there is strife, there is confusion. But I would just like to point out, I like these last two verses. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable. If we have that wisdom and we have the heart of God, then we won't have these things. We won't have that confusion. We won't have this envying and this strife and this evil speaking and these things that it talks about. It's going to be different. The fruit of mercy, the full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's going to be peaceable and gentle. And that is what our communication should be. It should be peace. It should be gentle. It should be love. Should have told you to keep your finger there in Ephesians. I had one more in Ephesians chapter 5 that I wanted to bring out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Talks about filthy talking. And it lists this foolish talking, this jesting, right in the same list as in verse 3, fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. And it says, let it not once be named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking and jesting. It lumps it all right in the same list. And the same thing, it says, let it not once be named among you. Something we should not do. Verse 5. It says, For these things, this foolish talking and jesting, in the last part of verse 5, we have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We have no inheritance. It's important that we have pure talking and that we have pure communication. We all know that vulgar talk is not a part of a Christian's life, and we would never do that. But there's many times that we are tempted to say bywords or words that maybe have the same meaning as vulgar words. Another point that I had is be quiet and speak up. Be quiet and speak up. I just want to read a couple of verses that talk about being quiet. There's a time that we need to be quiet, there's a time that we need to speak up. First of all, in Proverbs 17:27, it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. We have knowledge, he spareth his words. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And also in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So here it says we need to, there's a time that we just need to be quiet and we need to listen. We need to, well, that's how we get knowledge. We just be quiet and we listen. And we don't always have to be boasting of ourselves and be always be in control of the conversation, but just be quiet. And the wise man is going to be quiet. But then, on the other hand, the Bible also talks about speaking up, and there's times that we need to speak. And Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And also in Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Also Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ears to hear as the learned. So here we see that there is a time to be quiet, but there is a time that we need to talk. There's other times that we can use our words, we can use our mouth, we can use an email, a text message, that at the right time it can be an encouragement. And maybe someone is struggling, or you know they're having a rough day, or they're going to be going through a hard time today, or whatever. Just a little word can be, well, it says it's fitly spoken. It can be just the right thing, what they need. It can be edifying. It can be a positive thing. I think our carnal nature often wants to do just the opposite. We want to speak when we probably should be quiet. And there's times that we should speak up and encourage each other is when we want to be quiet. And so our carnal nature is just the opposite. But there's much wisdom that can be learned when we let others speak and we're not always boasting of ourselves. And we can be a great encouragement to others when we speak a word of encouragement to them. Well, in closing, I trust that our communication to others can show to others that we are a sincere Christian, because what's inside does come out. And what can others see in our lives? Do they see that we are a sincere Christian? Can they see that we are being truthful always, whether it makes us look like a fool or not? We are always truthful. Do they know that when we come around and join the conversation, that it's going to be an edifying conversation? Is that what they think when they see you coming? Is it going to be an edifying conversation, or do they think the opposite? Are we known as speaking good about other people, or are we known about to gossip about other people and say hurtful things? Are we known to have a clean vocabulary? Are we known to use God's wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet? So let us remember that what we think is what we are, and what we are is what's going to come out. Psalm 19:14, one of my favorite verses, says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's kneel for prayer.